Good evening and welcome to the Cybersecurity and Cryptocurrency Podcast. I'm your host, Eric English. Got quite a bit of awesome stuff to talk about today. It's been a crazy day for newsworthy items. So I do have a laundry list of things to get to today. Pretty cool topics that everybody should be aware of. And first things first, though, if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at eEnglish34. Again, at eEnglish34 on Twitter. Also want to thank our sponsor, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Any kind of T-shirt that you need, they can make it for you. Custom shirts, pre-made shirts, polo shirts, whatever you want, they've got it, or they can make it. So for all your T-shirt needs, go out to southerngraphicst-shirtco.com. Check them out. So we'll start with some cybersecurity news today. It was pretty interesting stuff. The first one is the new, yet again, another what's called a side channel attack for Intel processors. If you're not aware, there was the big Spectre and Meltdown vulnerabilities that were released early this year, in January, I want to say, of this year. And they've just been finding more and more and more attacks like this, and it is being exploited in the wild as well. So there's yet another flaw in these Intel CPUs. I think we're going to get to the point where we have to get rid of any system that has one of these CPUs in it just for security reasons. The list just seems to be growing and growing and growing. Although, when you look at the vulnerability, the speculative execution, it's very difficult to get any kind of information with the process that you have to go through for these attacks. It's very, very small windows of information that you can grab, and the likelihood that you get something fruitful is, I think, somewhat unlikely. Of course, there's always a chance. You would have to be on that person's computer for quite a while to really get anything sensitive out of it. Now, if you can install something silently on their machine that's constantly running these Spectre and Meltdown attacks, over time, sure, you could build, you know, quite a bit out of the information you've gathered. But I think it's extremely small amounts of data that it grabs at a time, that it leaks, and that you're able to capture. So it's a vulnerability nonetheless, but they're finding more and more techniques to pull more and more data at a time and pull data faster, and they're finding new flaws as well. So pretty interesting stuff there. If you have any of these Intel processors and have not run any of the Windows updates or Intel updates for any of this stuff, I highly recommend it as a just-in-case. The problem with it is, you know, the Windows stuff is a decent mitigation. It's not a full mitigation. You really have to run the firmware updates that Intel releases. So whoever manufactured your computer is who you need to go to for those updates, those firmware updates. If you built your own system, you can go directly to Intel and grab those firmware updates. Oftentimes they run in Windows. The problem here, though, is if you have a huge enterprise with, you know, thousands of computers, knowing the model number of every single system and going and pulling these updates for every single system is really time consuming. Not even sure that it's worth it. The time that you spend tracking down all of these updates versus, you know, just buying new systems. If it was me, I'd just go buy new systems and say, forget about it. We're trashing these because they're vulnerable. But again, that's a call for the business to make. But consider that risk. I mean, it's a very hard attack to exploit, and you don't get a whole lot of data. And you really have to be on there for a while to get anything fruitful. So think about that before you just go replacing everything. And run the Windows patches if nothing else. It's a decent mitigation, although not perfect. Also, with some of these patches that they have released, it actually slows down performance on those processors, so that's another thing to keep in mind. Especially on servers and things like that with high load, you really want to be careful when you run those patches. So, next on my list of cybersecurity news, there was some news today about a bunch of hacked Instagram accounts, and they're linking it back to Russian hackers. So this, yet again, is another way that you can spread fake news. And, you know, these hackers, they will take over whatever Instagram account it is and replace everything on that account with their agenda, whether it's, you know, trying to sway votes for a particular president or whatever it is. They go and change all the images, all the posts. They change everything and delete whoever's account they've taken over, basically delete everything in there and replace it with all of their agenda. So this happens quite a bit, also happens with Facebook accounts, and that's why you see all this fake news getting spread. So if you have an Instagram account and you haven't already set up two-factor, it's a great idea to do that, especially if you have a really crappy password. You know, people that have crappy passwords really, really need to have two-factor turned on. So if you're one of those people with a crappy password, turn on two-factor, please. It'll save you from being hacked. Some other news about Android. I thought this was pretty awesome. For anybody that buys an Android phone, you know how much it sucks when you buy it from AT&T or Verizon or Sprint. They install all this crap on there and you cannot uninstall it. It's extremely irritating. And oftentimes you don't ever use whatever software they've pre-installed. It's AT&T this and Sprint that and Verizon this and Verizon that. I don't want that stuff. Remove it or give me the option to uninstall it. So they did find that there was quite a few of these pre-installed applications that are extremely vulnerable. Being that these pre-installed apps are vulnerable and you cannot remove them, that means there are millions of devices now that are vulnerable to these attacks. So hopefully this will push all of the carriers to at least allow us to uninstall their software that they put on there. I really think that we, you know, we're buying the phone, so it's ours. Yes, we don't control the software, but we should be able to control, you know, what gets installed on the phone. So hopefully these carriers will see this and they will either update their apps or allow us to uninstall them. I would much rather prefer to uninstall it myself, but I can't force them to do that, unfortunately, and they're going to do whatever the hell they want anyway. But I do hope that eventually we get to that point. Speaking of carriers, there was some news about AT&T. They're being sued by a guy who got $26 million worth of crypto stolen from him. Basically, these hackers took over his phone number by calling AT&T and posing as this guy, they called up AT&T and said, "Hey, I just got a new phone. Here's my IMEI number. I need to transfer my service to this new phone." AT&T did not validate his identity, apparently, or so he's claiming, allegedly. All that stuff that you have to say for lawyer speak. But he's suing AT&T for that money that he lost and another $200 million. So I'll be interested to see how that turns out. Recently, when I've called AT&T, they do require now that you have a verbal PIN set up, which, you know, that's debatable whether or not that's secure as well. But I guess it's better than nothing. I mean, AT&T and all these carriers really need to do a better job of validating who they're speaking to rather than just doing whatever the caller says. I understand there's customer service in it, but you need to validate who you're talking to one way or another. So hopefully these carriers learn from that. And, you know, I would much rather prefer a passphrase, not a PIN number. Hopefully they'll get to that point, but right now it's just a passphrase, or I'm sorry, a PIN number that they're using to validate your identity, along with, you know, you have to tell them your address and things like that, but that's essentially public information at this point. So, anyway, be very careful about, you know, setting these things up. If you do give a carrier a PIN number, make sure it's somewhat lengthy, and obviously you have to remember what that PIN is, but you know, don't just give them 1234 or something stupid. Make it a little difficult. You don't want somebody calling up and just guessing what your PIN number is too. The problem there is somebody could call up and say, "Hey, I forgot my PIN number. What else can I give you to validate who I am?" So they may ask for like social security numbers and things like that, which I guess is okay, but obviously not ideal. But with all the compromises going on, you know, it's pretty likely that social security numbers are out there floating around. And if people do enough digging on you, they'll know that you're into cryptocurrency or whatever it is, and you're their next target. So be very, very cautious with all that kind of stuff. Make sure you've set up that PIN with your carrier. There is a lot more of this going on. Also, if you do any kind of verification codes by text message, now is the time to switch it to a Google Authenticator app or the Microsoft Authenticator app or Authy or whatever to avoid things like this from happening. Now, the caveat there is, you know, at least a text message is better than not having two-factor. But if somebody takes over your cell phone account, then that two-factor text message can be easily compromised, and those hackers can get into pretty much every single account that you own. So whenever possible, use an authenticator app, not a two-factor text message. Obviously, this is in a perfect world, and you know, it's not always going to be perfect, but that's the recommended thing to do, is get it through an app rather than that text message. So food for thought for everybody that's got that set up. Try to use Google Authenticator or something similar. Let's see, what else was there on the cybersecurity news? Amazon Echo had some vulnerabilities that allow hackers to listen to everything that you're saying. So everybody that's got an Echo at home, you might want to check this out. You know, this is very scary. The whole IoT and smart home and smart stuff, whatever it is, it's scary. It's scary how vulnerable it is. And there are so many botnets that are created from this kind of stuff. So if you do have an Alexa, check out that article. There are some ways to mitigate it. But they did all this at DEF CON, so the information is going to be released here pretty soon. If it hasn't already been released. So check that out. Make sure you're patching your Echo up. Echoes usually do a self-update, so in most cases, once Amazon patches it, you should be okay. Let's see here. The other news was in crypto. Good news in crypto. The market came back a little bit today. I'm not going to jump the gun, but Bitcoin was up to 6,400, I believe it was, earlier today. So that's doing pretty good. I'm not going to complain, but I'm also not going to get my hopes up. We've seen how low it can get. So it is good news in general, though, that it is going up. So hopefully we will continue the upward trend and people can still make some money on their crypto stuff. So that is good news. Ethereum's also back up a little bit. It's still under 300. But at least it is trending in the right direction today. Now, I'm probably going to get on here tomorrow and say that it all tanked, because you just never know what's going to happen. But last thing on my list was, it's also related to cryptocurrency, but has some cybersecurity implications as well. There was a massive crypto jacking campaign, and apparently 30 some odd UK companies got hit with crypto mining malware within the last month. Now that's pretty staggering numbers there. I wonder how many computers that was. Because these guys, they can really, really rake in some money if they do it right. They've said that there's some estimates of how much money they've made off with. It's in the millions, but it's all speculation at this point. Nobody really knows for sure, but the crypto jacking malware, it seems to get more and more prevalent day by day. More and more hackers are turning to that because you can make money off of it. And oftentimes it's silent and nobody really knows that it's running in the background. And, you can make it to where it evades your antivirus and all kinds of other stuff and just runs in the background and mines away using your computer and your electricity. So it happens a lot. People think that this is so rare, but it's becoming more and more prevalent. Crypto jacking just this year is way, way up in statistics, especially since last year was kind of the year of ransomware. A little bit this year too, don't get me wrong. But this year has really been about the crypto jacking. How many systems can you infect and how many different computers can you mine on at one time? There's been reports of, a single hacker having crypto jacking malware on 200,000 different servers on the internet, and they were all mining for them. So, if you've compromised 200,000 systems and you have them all mining for whatever crypto, you're definitely going to make some pretty good money on that, especially with 200,000 processors running for you. So it's very prevalent. Most modern antivirus, and I'm not talking about definition-based, I'm talking about the stuff that's not definition-based, will catch this kind of stuff. Products like Cylance, anything like that, like Carbon Black is another one. Any software like that can usually catch this kind of stuff. So if you're still using signature-based antivirus, it's time to wake up and get with 2018, because signature-based AV is so outdated and basically worthless at this point. because it only detects what it knows about. So all somebody has to do is rewrite some code a little bit, and it's a whole new virus, and it'll get right around that antivirus. So get some sort of a modern anomaly detection type of antivirus if you haven't already. So that's all we got for today. Hopefully the market keeps going up. So keep your eyes on that, and hopefully we can finally be in the green a little bit here. But we'll see what happens over the next couple of days. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at eEnglish34. Again, that's at eEnglish34. Check out our sponsors too, Southern Graphics T-Shirt Company. Their website is southerngraphicst-shirtco.com, so go check them out too for any kind of t-shirt that you want. They got really funny stuff out there, so go check them out. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow.